Well, good afternoon to everyone. My son was supposed to lead songs today, but they decided to go out there that ski thing up in Meadsville, Pennsylvania, so they left last evening. Heard they arrived safely about, 11:30 or something. At least that's when I got my text message. I made it safe. That's all you need to know. Hope you all had a very pleasant week. Some of us enjoyed the rain. I like the pitter-patter of the rain on my tin roof. It was lovely. Of course, it did get monotonous after a long period of time. And the water ran through the basement like it usually does when it rains so much, and it goes out the drains that I have set up, so it's not too bad. Sort of gives a cleansing to the basement. Have to look on the positive side. I thought I'd start this morning by turning, or this afternoon, by going to Psalm 133 and verse 1. Psalm 133 and verse 1. I'll start there. Probably many of you know this scripture. We used to hear it a lot. But it's always good to refresh. And it seems to always be an encouraging scripture. Psalm 133 and verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And you know that is so true. When things are united and things are working together and everyone's working in cooperation and thinking of others and helping others and striving to encourage those that are get depressed. Everyone gets depressed and we try to encourage them and they encourage us in reverse. It's a wonderful thing and it causes unity. But I'm not going to talk about unity today. I'd like to ask you a question. It has come up over my life over and over and over again. And it's something that is a difficult thing to work out and get rid of. Why do we have strife and contentiousness? Why don't we all have peace all the time? Why do we have strife? I thought it would be an interesting study. And as I studied it, it was very interesting. And so I thought I'd give you what I studied, what the Bible has to say about strife. Where does strife come from? What causes it? You have all the answers? I don't. After doing this study, I still don't have all the answers. But it's a start. So I'm going to go through this now with you. Let's start in Proverbs 16:28. Now, Solomon gave a lot of information, as Bob was saying, but in all different subjects. And one of them he talked about in Proverbs, there's a lot of talking about strife and contention. So go to Proverbs 16:28. Notice what it says here. It says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." So it's really telling us a man's mind who's twisted, that means he doesn't obey God, it's the opposite of God's way, causes strife. That's really literally what it seems, what I got from that scripture. So just write that down. It's the opposite of God's way. So we definitely don't want strife. We don't want to give it to others. We don't want to cause it. Let's keep studying and see what else it comes from. Proverbs 17:19. Proverbs 17:19. Notice what it says here. "He who loves transgression," and we all know that transgression is God's sinning against God's law. It says, "He who loves transgression loves strife." So it's definitely not something that God thinks is good. It's against God. "And he who exalts his gates seeks destruction." So the same thing again. It says, "He who loves sin love strife." So they go hand in hand. It's the opposite of God. Let's go to Proverbs 22:10. Proverbs 22:10. Notice what it says here in verse 10. "Cast out the scoffer, and contentions will leave." Then notice what it says. "Yes, strife and reproof will cease." So he's telling us here, I thought, well, what is a scoffer? And I looked that up, and a scoffer is a person who talks down others. Or he slanders others. He mocks others. He makes a laughing stock of others. An expression of contempt towards another. And then I think what it comes down to is that type of individual thinks a person is inferior. The person says, or you could, the person that does it says, I think that person over there is inferior, and that's why they do it. And the other thing is, it seems like that the scoffer would also be a person that, I'm absolutely right and everybody else is wrong. Isn't that what a scoffer is? Because that seems like what the definition gives us. He says he's a mocker. A person who talks down and does things to others. That does, slanders things to others. So those, and he says that's part of strife. In verse 10, or content, it says, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. So it goes away. Yes, strife. Yes, and even strife. I guess you would say yes. Strife and reproach will cease. So they all go hand in hand. They all stop. To get rid of the scoffer. Let's see what else he has to say in Proverbs 29, verse 22. I'm giving you the negative right now. We'll get to the positive in a little bit. And tells us how to avoid it. Proverbs 29, verse 22. Notice what Solomon says here. He says, an angry man stirs up strife. And a furious man abounds in transgression. So that has something to do with anger. If a person gets so angry and out of control, then he stirs up strife. He might say things he's not realizing what he's saying. I don't know. But anger is a part of it too. Let's go to Proverbs 26, verse 21. Proverbs 26 and verse 21. Says here, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So a contentious man is given to quarrelsome. He likes to quarrel. Contentious, he likes to quarrel, or he's angry. He's something like that, and it's like wood in a fire. It's just like if you put wood on and you get more fire. There's no more wood, the fire goes out. No more anger, probably that would stop too. Strife, a contentiousness would stop. So anger has, it's just telling you more about anger, quarrelsome. Let's go to Galatians 5 and verse 19. Notice what Paul wrote about this. Galatians 5, verse 19. We all know this chapter real well, because if you drop down below here, it talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Let's start in verse 19, and it says, Galatians 5 and verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh, these are the ones we don't want, are envious, which are adultery, or I'm sorry, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, and heresy. Envies, murders, drunkenness, rowlers, and the likes of which I tell you, brethren, just as I've told you in the past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, this is a big subject. We all want to be in God's kingdom. And Paul writes, inspired by God, if we have contentions, we have strife, the same as strife, if we have strife, we won't enter God's kingdom. So, what can we possibly do to overcome that? Let's go to one more thing before we get to that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. First Corinthians 1, verse 10 and 11. Notice what it says here. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgments. Talking about unity. For it has been declared that to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of glorious house that there are contentions among you. So apparently it's even within the church is what Paul's saying. He said that it's showing that contentions and strife, notice in verse 1 it says it causes division. It says, and that there be no divisions among you. So that helps to cause divisions. It's something else that strife does. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. Paul says a little more. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, I'm breaking into the thought, he says, for you are still carnal. Where there are envies and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? And Paul was trying to show them that they were to have God's Spirit. They were supposed to be developing God's Spirit. And if they're acting these ways, envy, strife, and division, they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're not developing God's character. If they have strife, we're not. I should say, I am not, if I'm causing the strife. I don't have the Spirit that God gave me. I'm not using the Spirit God gave me. I'm not allowing God to develop the character He wants within me in my life. You can apply it to yourself. That's what I've got from that scripture. It also says, I'm not in a humble state of mind because if I'm causing strife, I'm not in a humble state of mind, and so God can't work with me. He's not able to develop the character I want. Now you can apply that to however you read that scripture in your life. Now let's go, I'll just review what it said it was. The first one, in one of the Proverbs, it says what strife was and contention is. It's the opposite of God's way. That's what it told us. It loves sin. It thinks a person is inferior. A person has anger. A person that has anger, that's a part of strife. A person that has strife causes division. And the sixth point, if you don't change, you won't be in God's kingdom. I should have said, if I don't change, it won't be in God's kingdom. I'm not trying to say any of you are like this. I'm not trying to do that. I just did the study, and this is what it said. This is what God's Word said. Let's look at the positive points. We've seen the things that cause strife. Now, what do we do to overcome this strife and contentiousness, which is so easily, and we won't be in God's kingdom? What can we do? Let's go to Proverbs 13 and verse 10. I always like to go to the positive. I don't like the negative. I like to know what I can do to overcome my shortcomings. I'm sure you're the same way. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13 and verse 10, it says, by pride comes nothing but strife. Then notice the rest of it. With the thing, he says, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So, the more the people know, the more understanding of God's way, the less likelihood there is to have strife and contentiousness. So, he's merely telling us, keep our nose in the book. Study and understand God's way more. Let's go to Proverbs 10 and verse 12. I almost thought I pulled that in already, but I didn't. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Notice what it says here in Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hate stirs up strife. So we shouldn't have any of that. But then notice what he tells you to do. But love covers all sin. So we need to show concern and compassion. And show love towards God. I mean, towards our fellow human beings and towards God too. So we need to have love. Titus 3 tells us another point. Titus 3 verse 8. Titus 3 and verse 8. Titus 3 and verse 8. It says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. But these... But these who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So he's telling you that you something to do is to have good works, follow God's way, to do good works. And then notice verse 9. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogy, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. So don't do those other things. He says, do good works. That's a thing to help us to overcome strife and contentiousness. What are good works? Well, you can look in the rest of the Bible and discover many things that Christ told us to do. Good works is the basic thing is following that one principle that he gave us. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. That's a simple way. And you can think of multitude of things of good works you can do with that scripture. Many different things. So we'll just leave it at that. I wrote down here, disputes and contentiousness and is useless. Do good works. And then I thought when I was studying this, life is short. So why would we want to do the others? Life is so short, let's do good works instead of the others. Life is too short. Well, our lives will be over before we can blink our eye a couple times. Proverbs 17:14 tells us something else to stop strife. Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. I thought about that for a second, and I thought about a dam. And the dam breaks, and all the water goes over, and it's gone. It goes very fast. It does a lot of destruction. And that's what I think of what strife really does. It just causes a great amount of destruction. It says the beginning of strife is like the releasing of tons of water down over a valley, and it destroys it. Now, notice what it says. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. So he's telling us about anger, and that we should not be angry, and we should control ourselves. Stop strife before it starts by controlling ourselves. And don't be like a dam, like with the anger, don't be like a dam. Just let it burst, and then it destroys so many things in its path, the water. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Notice it says, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. So it's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any man can start a quarrel. It takes wisdom and it takes help from God to stop a quarrel. If you get all worked up inside and you're about ready to burst, the only thing I've ever come to the conclusion to make you stop is to pray to God and say, take that angry spirit, that anger motivation in my head away. And if I don't, well, then I usually blow up. And someone doesn't feel too good, probably called strife for them. But that's the way life, that's how it works for me. And I think that's what he's trying to tell us. It takes wisdom and help from God to stop it, to stop the anger. In Proverbs 26:20, Proverbs 26:20. Notice what he says here. It says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And you know, this morning my fire was about out. It was very cold last night. And that's quite true. It burned up all the wood, and all that was left was a few coals. But I got it going again. But where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Now notice what it says. And where there is no tail-bearing, strife ceases. Strife ceases. Well, what is tail-bearing? In my margin, it says gossiping. Don't tail-bear. Don't slander. So it's what we say. It's the words we say about others. I know an individual, a minister years ago said, to stop gossiping and to stop slandering, and this minister isn't living anymore. His name is Mr. Rosenthal. He said, just stop and If you're not quite positive, sure, that something negative about the person, don't say it. He says, think of all the positive things you can say about that person. And say the positive things. And the positive things, they don't go quite like wildfire, like the negative things. So, just think of the positive things. That stops it. So, try to think of the positive. Romans 12, verse 18 and 20 to 21. Romans 12, I think I said that wrong. Did I say Romans 12? I did. Romans 12, 18 to 21. Notice what it says here. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So I think that's really telling us that the only way that we have live peaceably is with God's help. And if we think positive of others and try to be encourage them, we can live more peaceably too. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So don't try to take it into your own hands to change certain things. That's God's responsibility. Vengeance is God. It's not your own. It's not my own. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what really feeds the fire against someone that's upset? If you do these things. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. If you're in an arguing attitude, and you're arguing with someone, and someone stops them and gives you something, something positive, maybe give them money or something, I don't know, give them a glass of water or something, and stop arguing with them, it'll stop them. It changes over time, it stops. If they're hungry, you feed them. If they're thirsty, you give them drink. It says, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So this is telling us, to overcome strife and contentiousness, we have to do good things. We have to look for the good things. We have to help others. We have to strive to apply that golden rule. Think of others before yourself. Now, all these things, I think, is sort of given in an example in the Bible by someone that did this when there was strife and contentions between two individuals. I'd like to take you back to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, and we'll start in verse 5. It says, Lot also went with Abraham and had flocks and herds and tents. In verse 6, now the land was not able to support them and they dwelled together, for their possessions were so great and they could not dwell together. There was so much there. They had so many flocks together, combinations. There wasn't enough room for them. There wasn't enough food for the flocks. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites, they dwelt in the land there too. Those individuals dwelt there. Notice what Abraham did in verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. We are brothers and we are brothers. Verse 9, is not the whole land before us? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll take the right. Then I will go to the right. If you take the right, I'll go to the left. Which one do you want, Lot? Which way do you want to go? We can't have this strife no more. Let's solve this problem. What does Lot do? Abraham said, here's a choice. I don't want no strife. So if you go one way, I'll go the other. Then notice what Lot does. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan there, all the water there, and oh, it was wonderful before Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was like the garden of the Lord, it says. The land of Egypt, or the land of Egypt. And as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Now what I always thought about that is, Abraham says you can go one way and you go the other way. He's going to solve this problem, at this strife problem. But Lot, he didn't seem to pick up on something. You know, if he was thinking about doing unto others as he wants them to do unto him, he would have said to Abraham, well, you know what? The best place over here looks like that valley over here to the right. Abraham, you take that. I'll go to the left. he would have thought of Abraham first. So, in essence, Abraham did what was right, but Lot, in a sense, didn't, because he didn't think of Abraham when he was choosing. He was thinking about himself. And I think that's really a lot about strife. It's easy to be strifeful, isn't it? And it's easy to be contentious. But you know, it's hard to stop being that way. Now, I gave you some points. I didn't write them down, but we'll go back through and what each of those proverbs of positive things said. It says we're to be open. We're to show love. Be open. We're to show love. We're to do good works. And if strife enters our mind, the first thing we should do is to strive to get it out of our minds as fast as we can. It takes wisdom and help from God to overcome strife and contentiousness. Then it told us, don't gossip, don't talebear, and don't slander others. And then I think the whole thing summarizes, think of others before yourself. That's what Abraham says. He thought of Lot, but Lot should have did that. That's what he did. He thought of Lot before himself. Now this subject is not complete. You can study this a lot more, and you'll probably have your own things to write down about this subject as time progresses. I look back over my life and I see that I've caused strife already. In my family, I've caused strife, I'm sure. I can see by the examples of what strife is, I have to be in some of them categories somewhere. And I'm sure you can see that for yourselves as well. I hope these points that I gave you, the positives, will be helpful to you. And let us all draw closer to God and stay in a humble frame of mind, and to ask God to develop His character in our minds and our hearts, and to put out anything that would cause us strife towards others that would come from us.